This podcast is, unsurprisingly, about sex and intended for adult listeners only. Episodes contain sexual content and some graphic language. If that's not your thing, this might not be the podcast for you. Welcome to episode 5 of On the Business of Sex. My name is Reba Kareen Thomas. In the first 4 episodes, we learned about what sex work is, who sex workers are, how people get into the business, and what obstacles entrepreneurs in the sex business face. Those of us who work in this industry face many hurdles that regular entrepreneurs don't. If you haven't listened to the first 4 episodes yet, I highly recommend you do. I learned a lot, and I think you will too. In episode 5, I'm talking to entrepreneurs about the impact of sex work. There are so many people in sex industries who are passionate about their work. And as we learned, they often have an uphill battle in creating a thriving business. So why do they do it? It certainly isn't for fame or fortune. I believe it's because of the impact the sex business can make on the world. So what is that impact? One important impact is reducing the stigma of pleasure in sex. In a sex-negative culture, young children are taught to feel shame around their genitals before they can even talk. Steve Magot, who you'll remember from episodes 3 and 4, told me about a theory he learned from the famous Betty Dodson.
Her theory is that, and I've seen this, so that's another mind-blowing moment with her, is that basically when they're babies and they're young, all of us, we're just kind of touching ourselves, touching our body, like, whoa, okay, this is my body, this is my arm. They touch their genitals and they're like, whoa, what's that? And if the parent sees it, the parent looks at them in a culture that's repressive with a shocked, disapproving look, like, oh, don't do that. And they move their hand away. Well, the baby doesn't even have language yet. Mm. You're getting stuff stored at a very, very base level that this being that gives you everything, you know, your food, your survival, didn't want you to do that. So that gets ingrained in us at a very, very young age. And then as we grow, this kind of cop-out double standard happens for males where they go, well, boys are going to be boys. They can't help it. They still should feel embarrassed. It's still bad. It's still a sin, but, you know, they can't help it. Whereas girls need to be proper and save themselves. And but, you know, Betty's agreed with what Kinsey said, that women, you know, at least 80% of women on average have the same libido as men, and it's just slightly different. But women can't openly express that, both to men and to other women, a lot of the times without being judged.
And this is exactly why I'm a pleasure-positive sex educator. Because shamed children grow into shameful adults who carry that shame into the bedroom. The demonization of self-pleasure does us a disservice when we become adults and need to navigate what non-shameful sex is. This shame can also put a halt on inquisitive young minds, which can cause a feeling of isolation and even result in physical harm. Mia Davis, founder and CEO of Taboo, had this to say about the impact of her work.
One, just understanding your body is so liberating. And it's so empowering to be able to know what's going on. So as far as like my period, for example, you know, to think that I only learned about like how the menstrual cycle, like first of all, the menstrual cycle, understanding that it even is a cycle. It's not just like the 1 week where you have your period, understanding how it's all interconnected, how your hormones are changing, and then how that can impact your mood or even having energy in certain weeks and how maybe that's a good week for you to interview or go on a date. Like, there's so much that you can learn from your body and listening to your body. And then, you know, if something's off and you realize like, oh, I'm feeling a little tired, you know, that could be your hormone imbalance, or that could, you know, it's just like being able to know what's going on and listen to your body and its needs and what it's telling you is just so incredibly empowering, especially when so many people are dismissed by doctors. When you can come and say like, well, this, and not just like, oh, I read this article, but like, I actually really understand this and I have information. It just opens up a new conversation and gives you that confidence to advocate for yourself. And also with a partner, if you know, like, hey, I really enjoy this because you've taken the time and the space to explore your own body, you can have better, more pleasurable experiences. Hopefully, you know, I think also a big part of this for me was sort of challenging and trying to eradicate sexual assault. That's like my, it's like a lofty goal, but I think that for me, it's about like, not just for the person advocating for themselves, but also on the other side of things for people who might, you know, I think so much happens, so much sexual trauma happens, obviously that is more premeditated or intentionally malicious, but I think so much also happens that is truly unintentional just by people not knowing how to communicate or certain societal messages around like continuing to push for something until it happens. And there's just so much that people don't talk about, assumptions being made without conversation. And for me, that's what it's about, is just like giving people the tools to communicate, to really just respect each other and have empathy for one another and want to pursue pleasurable, mutually pleasurable experiences. So that's why I think, you know, it's so important. And hopefully that is the impact. And just for people to feel less alone. I think for me, I felt really isolated when I had all these questions and concerns. And I felt really like, oh, am I weird? Or like, what's wrong with me? And just knowing that I'm not alone and there's other people and there's resources to actually get better or to heal and learn. For me, that's really transformational.
The sex industry has a long history of being built to serve a very small but powerful audience. This has put anyone who doesn't belong to that group at risk. Here's Cindy Gallup from Make Love, Not Porn.
So a couple of very important things. The first is the young white male founders of the giant tech platforms that dominate our lives today are not the primary targets, online and offline, of harassment, abuse, racism, sexual assault, violence, rape, revenge porn. Therefore, they did not, and they do not, proactively design for the prevention of any of those things. And we see all around us the cesspool that has resulted. Those of us who are most at risk every single day, women, Black people, people of color, LGBTQ, the disabled, we design safe spaces and safe experiences. I and my tiny team spent literally years concepting and designing Make Love Not Porn before we ever built it, because we knew if we were going to invite people to do something they'd never done before, socially share their real world sex, we had to think through every possible ramification of that to create a completely safe and trustworthy space.
If you were to ask someone what they considered the impact of sex work to be, they might initially think of the negative impact in dangerous, high-risk environments. These barriers and the risks they present keep talented and passionate people from getting into this work. But how different would our varied industries look if they were created mindfully? Cindy Gallup had another example.
You know, we designed for this versus, you know, let's take the OnlyFans example, okay? OnlyFans, you know, built and run by white men, okay, did not start out as a site dedicated to sex work, you know, obviously became a very useful platform for sex workers, mm-hmm. but that was not the intent behind it. Yeah. Therefore, they did not design in any protections, no. And they still have not designed in any protections.
But what about other areas of the sex industry? Cleo Stiller occupies a different role in the field.
My name is Cleo Stiller, and I'm an Emmy Award and Peabody Award nominated journalist, television host, and most recently an author. I just published my first book called Modern Manhood: Conversations About the Complicated World of Being a Good Man Today with Simon & Schuster in November. I hosted the show for Univision called Sex Right Now with Cleo Stiller. And we are both members of Women of Sex Tech.
Cleo's book may have some impact on those who have traditionally benefited from sex work at the expense of the marginalized workers Cindy Gallup's Make Love Not Porn is trying to support.
Sex Right Now, we wrapped in 2019. And then I published my book, Modern Manhood, which deals with how men are showing up to be good men in a quote-unquote post-Me Too era. And the catalyst behind the whole project was while I was hosting the television show and the Me Too hit mainstream after Harvey Weinstein, a lot of men who were watching my show started to write into me, are you going to do a season on this? Because I have so much to say about what's happening right now, but I'm kind of afraid to say anything because I don't want to get in trouble. But then they would go on to ask me a question, and over 2 years, these questions kind of piled up in my inbox, and they would range from, I'm a single guy and I'm terrified to approach women now. I feel like everything I was taught to do growing up is now considered creepy or worse. I had like parents writing into me. I'm a first time father and I've got an infant son. I am terrified to raise a boy right now because I don't know what it means to be a good man. And so I actually found that project, so this is my latest one, heartening in a way that surprised me, because coming from reporting on sex right now, where actually 60% of our audience was male, 40% was female, but the entire production and editorial staff was female or they, them. Non-binary. And I've reported through the lens of women's health for many years, which are often stories about women being harmed by men or by the patriarchy. And so I had a lot of trepidation about reporting this project. And I was, you know, like, what am I going to find when I lift under the hood, when I look under the hood? And I can actually say that I am, of course, not all of the stories that I heard were positive, but by and large, it has been extremely heartening for me to hear from so many cis heterosexual men being genuinely concerned and interested in showing up to do better.
That sounds like a really positive impact. So I asked Cleo about what difference she feels she's making in the world.
I feel the differences in real time because people reach out on DM or email, you know, and they'll say like, I mean, this is real stuff. Like some of my most proudest moments of sex right now were I got a tweet from a guy who was like, my buddy and I are, you know, they're in undergrad and we're at a house party, but your show was on, like we saw it, because it's called Sex Right Now, which I named very strategically because I knew when you're going through the TV guide, no one's going to pass that title.
No.
Without and it worked very well for us. So, and the kid said, you know, at a house party, but we saw the title of your show on TV Guide and we've been watching it for 3 hours and the whole party just stopped to watch the show.
That's wonderful.
It's amazing. Cause I can imagine that, like, you've been at a house party, you know, and like someone's clicking through, but to actually stop and then like other people stop and then they're like, you know, so that was a huge moment of pride. And then we had a mom also send me a message that said, you know, she had seen the show. I think we were in it at like 10 o'clock at night. She had seen the show and just felt like so comfortable and hopeful with the way that we handled the material that she then showed it to her kids. And it's not a show that's made for kids, but I completely understand a parent like showing within the context of like, I want you to see this so you know facts. Like we were really clear about everything we presented was scientifically and factually accurate, and also presented in a way with no stigma or no judgment, so that we really wanted people to feel like everything that you are into, if you are not hurting someone, this is good and healthy. And here's some context around it. Here's how you can pursue it in a healthy way. And here's what your peers all over the country are saying about it. So, you know, we took a lot of pride in that aspect of the show. And then I'll say with Modern Manhood, the outpouring has been phenomenal. you know, hearing from men, like, to be honest, I thought I was going to hate read this book because a woman writing a book called Modern Manhood, like, come on. But I was completely surprised by your tone is just so accessible. And I really did learn a lot. And, you know, because, I mean, everyone has a relationship, whether it's good or bad, to a father, right? And that's, that impacts men in tremendous ways that they don't really get to unpack. And there's so many influences on men's behavior that we never discuss broadly. And so to hear men say, like, this really helped me work through things that I did not even know I felt. I'm reading it to my son, who's 14, you know, photos of, like, dads with their sons, or this is really kind of took the heat off of something I've been arguing about with my partner. I see now, like, where the miscommunication is happening. It's it's beautiful.
This podcast is brought to you by Switch and Board Podcast Studios in DuPont Circle in Washington, D.C. Check us out online at switchandboard.com to learn about our remote services. Switch and Board, a podcast studio for you.
So Cleo's books and TV shows are informing a broad audience. Ashley Cobb, the sex blogger you'll remember from episode 1, also has a broad audience. I asked Ashley why she thinks her work is important.
I think it's important because I think I help women to be able to talk about their sex and their desires out loud without feeling like, without feeling shame, without feeling like they're alone. Because by being able to talk about different topics and different things related to sex, we understand that, one, we're not alone. There's other people who have the same issue. Then two, like, oh, okay, I thought I was weird because I wanted to, you know, be tied up during sex. No, girl, you're not. There's a million other people who like being tied up too. But if you don't, if you're not comfortable, talk about that. And then two, like, I wanted I want my platform to be the place where people can go and learn and feel safe. Because even sometimes with our friends, we're not able to express ourselves or be like, girl, you know what? I saw this thing on Real Sex 10 years ago that I want to try. But, you know, I can't say that to you sometimes. I feel like, especially if your friends are, you know, kind of like prudish or not as open, you're going to think like, what? You want to try that? Like, girl, what's wrong with you? You know what I'm saying? So,
right.
So I want to be the person that you can come to or inbox and be like, I want to try this. I'm like, okay, cool, bet. This is where you go try this.
There is a liberation and empowerment that comes from finding these kinds of safe places for the information you can't easily get from traditional sources. And she wants to provide that safe space.
I was talking to one of my friends that I wanted to create like a resource directory on my site for like different things for sex, places that like either I've gone to or I, you know, put my stamp of approval on, that people can just go to the website, searching sex clubs, blah, blah, blah. And they list different ones based on how I rated them and where they're located. And you can just go. I want to do that. I want people to be able to come to my website and be boom. They can go there and they can find everything they want to that caters to, you know, Black people, because the world of sex is so white. And I don't know if it's because, well, we're not as open. That's one reason, for various reasons. So if we can get more open, we can be able to enjoy the things that everybody else is enjoying.
Ashley is a brand ambassador for a company called Love Honey and has built an incredible following online. So I'd say she's well on her way. Pleasure Activism by Adrienne Marie Brown tells about the act of pleasure and the pursuit of it as an act of revolution and resistance. We're trying to disassemble the tenets of the patriarchy that oppress people, including sexual and racial oppression. And I really believe this is the work we're doing. We're taking what society has told us has been our only value and monetizing it, much to the outrage of those outside the industry. Ava Mystique, a nationally known burlesque performer, is another person who is changing the world.
It baffles me too, because most people, I mean, when you take, you do statistics, you take polls or whatever, anonymous polls, most people partake in porn. You know, they have been to at least one strip club. There's all these people that take advantage or benefit from these services, but then shame the women who do it, you know?
Yep.
So I agree 100%. I think we're just, we're human. And no matter how badass we may seem online, a lot of us are not second guessing, but we take that in. Whenever I post these B cups on Instagram, I tell myself, I'm like, girl, you're never going to be president. We adopted our daughter. I was like, God, is this what I want her to see? Do I want, can she understand when she's old enough? Is she going to be able to see the activism in what I do? Or is it just going to be my mama is a hoe? And I had extensive conversations with my partner. Thank God my partner is the one who's like, please keep stripping. Like, what are you talking about? But, you know, there's things as we get older, as our lives develop, I always have to come back to them, like, am I still doing this? Okay, yeah, you're still doing it. You're still a hoe. It's okay. Come on, keep going.
Taylor Sparks makes a difference in a different way. She sells holistic products and really knows her products, but it's not just her products that make an impact. This is her describing the kind of help she's able to share.
A young lady came up to me and said, I need something to make my clitoris wet. I'm like, no, the clitoris doesn't, what do you mean, honey?
I was going to say, you should see the puzzled look on our faces. We're both like,
right, like, the clitoris doesn't get wet. What do you mean? She says, well, you know, my boyfriend, we're together, you know, we're going to have sex, but I just can't seem to get wet fast enough. I'm like, fast enough? Okay, wait, how old are you? She's like, 32. I'm like, shouldn't have a problem there, but okay. You have children? I do. I have two. How old are the kids? They were like 9 and 7. I'm like, ugh. You work full time? Yes. Okay, honey, you're tired. Okay. As it is not that you're not getting wet fast enough. He needs to take his time.
Yeah.
He needs to take his time because he's like, flip the switch. Ready, dick is hard, let's do it. And he's like, okay, I got to put the kids to bed. I got to help them with their homework. So if he wants to flip the switch that quickly, he needs to put the fucking kids to bed. Maybe yeah. He should cook dinner some nights.
Oh, that's you know, hot.
Yeah. Oh,
and get dirty.
Yeah, get me ready for this. Don't just come in here with your hard dick in your hand and be like, yo, let's do this shit. Like, it took me 5 hours just to unwind from work. Mm. And then they put the kids to bed. And I'm like, have a conversation with him. Let him know. And don't we know, well, I wanted to talk to him, but you know, I'm like, his ego will be fine. And if his ego is not fine, then it comes down to no guts, no glory. It's like, baby, mm-hmm. You love me, right? Yeah, well, why would you not want to please me? Here's the roadmap to what I need from you. Effect for them, and it's something natural. So, you know, when I give someone a lube and she's like, oh my God, everything breaks me out and it's really, really bad. It's like, and I give her something that's good. I'm like saving people's sex lives and I'm saving their marriages. And it is really, really, so those are the things that really are good for me.
I asked Taylor how she feels about saving people's sex lives.
Oh my God. I feel amazing. I feel like I have found my purpose. Mm-hmm. You know, I have found my purpose because this is the reason why we also have books on the site. I have over 100 books on my site on sex, sexual health, on the rhythms of a woman's body, penis health, sex for, you know, for teenagers and young adults. Because you and I know as educators, education is key.
Yeah.
When some women, a woman who's 32 years old thinks that her clitoris should be getting wet. And women not knowing, you know, the parts of their vagina, because no one ever said you should squat over a mirror and look at your vagina. Mm-hmm. When I tell women pussy should taste like pussy and not cookies and cream and bananas and chocolate chips, using all these lube with the flavors, why are you masking your own vaginal fluids? You should know what your pussy tastes like. And I had posted that not too long ago because I tend to repost it a lot. And one woman was like, I said, you should put your fingers in your own vagina and taste your vaginal secretions. You should know what your pussy, because as soon as a woman's health is off a little, her vaginal secretions will change.
Yeah.
And this woman was like, I'm not tasting that. That's just nasty. I'll just take a shower. I'm like, but you don't know what your healthy pussy tastes like, and you won't know the difference when it's not. Why would you send your partner down there?
Shame. It always returns to shame as being a huge obstacle preventing even inquisitive people from understanding sexual health and their bodies. In a lot of cases, there's so much shame sex educators have to unpack before we can even get to educating on pleasure. King Noir is an expert on educating about pleasure. He's an adult entertainer, master fetish trainer, and more. He's seen people move past the sex-based shame and has had a beautiful impact on his clients and fans.
My work puts a smile on my face when somebody reaches out to me and says, oh, I watched one of your scenes and it gave me this idea to try with my partner. So we tried either, you know, the setup or the positions or edging or whatever the case being, like, that makes me happy. When I have clients who, even if they're no longer my clients, that reach back out to me, like, I was thinking about our session the other day, or I tried something in my relationship or my new session or whatever that I learned in our sessions. Like, I'm like, oh, wow. Like, I'm really adding on something to people's lives. Or even if someone's like just listening to a podcast, it's like, yo, I never thought about it that way. And then you said it and I rock with it now, you know, like that, just being able to help open up a couple new brain cells for people in regards to how to experience their world more orgasmically makes me so happy. You know, as an exhibitionist, when people tell me, hey, I came to your stuff, like, oh, hell yeah, I'm inspiring orgasms out there. Like, there's no higher calling than I could think of, you know, when I work with people directly. And I could actually watch them have a breakthrough, whether it be mentally or sexually or, you know, emotionally. And they're like you see it. You see somebody open up to their own pleasure, or you see somebody just open up to the possibilities of their own pleasure. It's a beautiful thing. And I love what I do.
The business of sex isn't all about orgasms and kink, although that can be a really fun part of it. There's a deeper aspect of the industry. Professionals in all areas of the work are educating their clients about their bodies and their minds. We're working against the fierce stigma of a broadly sex-negative culture to help others feel safe in sex, to help them shed their shame and feel liberated in the bedroom. We help people communicate with their partners and with themselves and their own bodies. Because sex is never just sex. It's relationships, empowerment, joy, and love. The business of sex has a massively positive impact on those who are able to engage in it, whether as clients, students, or entrepreneurs and educators. And this industry still has so much room to grow. What did you think about the impact of the business of sex? Have you seen some of the benefits discussed in this episode? I'd love to hear from you. If you liked this episode, please go to Apple Podcasts and give us a rating and a review. It really goes a long way to helping other people find us. Remember to subscribe so you don't miss an episode, and follow us on Instagram at @onthebusinessofsex to learn about our swag and partner giveaways. I'm Reba Kareen Thomas, and this has been episode 5 of On the Business of Sex. I'd like to thank our guests for this episode, Steve Mago, Mia Davis, Cindy Gallup, Cleo Stiller, Ashley Cobb, Ava Mystique, Taylor Sparks, and King Noir. Tune in for episode 6 to hear more from their interviews, as well as new interviews with other professionals. On the Business of Sex is produced by me, Reba Thomas, with Switch and Board Podcast Studio in Washington, D.C.
Switch and Board.